Haggai, page 1125, and chapter 1, and verse 2. Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that Jehovah's house should be built. The word of Jehovah came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you that you should dwell in your wainscoted houses, while this house lieth waste? First book of Chronicles, and chapter 12. Chronicles 12, and verse 32. Chronicles 12, verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their bidding. Read on, choose up Zebulun, such as went forth in the host, armed for war, with all weapons of war, 50,000, keeping rank, without double heart. And then finally, Romans chapter 13. To Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. This also, knowing the time, that it is already time that we should be aroused out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is near. Let us cast away, therefore, the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. As in the day, let us walk becomingly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and lasciviousness, not in strife and emulation, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not take forethought for the flesh to fulfil its lusts. I was impressed with this verse in Chronicles, as the children of Issachar, who had understanding of the times. These two Old Testament scriptures both relate to speak about times, and both of them were, if you like, critical times in the history of the children of Israel. In Haggai, they just returned from the captivity and they needed stirring up. And in Chronicles, the children of Israel had been, Saul had died, and it was a case of the whole nation being brought together to exalt David. I just thought in Romans it gives us a little current touch as to the thought of these times. So in Haggai, the word says there that Jehovah spoke to them, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that Jehovah's house should be built. It's sad, really. You know, the children of Israel had come back from captivity. They'd, if you like, in our language, come out of the world. And here they were, they'd returned to Jerusalem. And the first thing they'd done was to build the altar. And as we've been reading in Ezra, and what a bright start that was. It was very fine. They built an altar and they'd offered sacrifices to Jehovah. And then they'd become discouraged. You know that opposition had come in and various things, but Haggai gives the viewpoint from God's side. And he said, well, you know, this people say, it's not the time. It's not the time. And sounds very pious, doesn't it? You know, they've got a good excuse not to be better engaged in God's things. But God says, you know, really the reason is because you've settled down. Settled down in your own things. And therefore that your things have become more important than my things. And therefore my house lies waste. Sad it was, wasn't it? You know, you could say, well, you could understand them being discouraged. But God's viewpoint was that they'd settled down. And how easy that is for us, you know. We live in very easy times in this part of the world. You know, we don't suffer great persecution. We don't come together at evening like this in great fear that we're going to be attacked. You know, we're not, generally speaking, put out of work because of our faith and because of our commitment to the Lord. We live in very easy times outwardly. And, you know, that can lead to us becoming very set, just to settle down in the world and the things around us. And the Lord's things just kind of take second place. Paul speaks, you know, very, very, very tellingly. He says, all seek their own things and not the things of Jesus Christ. But Haggai, you know, is very encouraging because the prophet comes in with a word from the Lord to stir them up. And we find very quickly that they respond to the Lord's word and are stirred up to build the house. So there is that which is established for God, and things are restored. And it's very encouraging to think of that. And so we would look for this, wouldn't we, that we might have a word from the Lord that would stir us up and encourage us, and just to help us that we might put the Lord's things first. And so we're looking for that, I think, this weekend, that we might have a word from the Lord that will really stir us up and set us on the way as we should be here in committal to him. I feel the need of it anyway, if no one else does. And so we read in these times, in David's time, or in the Chronicles here, as I said, Saul had died, you know, and all that had passed after that. And the time had come, you know, to exalt David, to make David king. And all the tribes come together, and they're united together in this matter of making David king and exalting him. And it's very fine to see it. And you get these brethren here, the children of Issachar, they had understanding of the times. They recognised that this was the moment, this was the time when David should be exalted among them and established as king. And so these people, they had the understanding of the times. Well, you know, the Christian today is very privileged. We live in very difficult times in many ways outwardly, don't we? We're told in Timothy that difficult times shall be here in the last days, and we recognise that. And we live in days when things are very unstable outwardly. The world is a very unstable place. Everything that men rely upon has been shaken, and I think God is behind that. And people are very concerned. Depending on the world, they're worried, they're fearful. What's going to take place? The Christian has no need to be fearful. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be those that have understanding of the times. We have God's word. How much we have in God's word to tell us what is going to take place? And the greatest thing is that God is going to exalt his son. Just as David here was to be exalted, God is going to exalt his son. And that's what God's purpose is. And that is going to come to pass. And no matter what takes place in the world, the machinations of men, all that's going on around us, God is behind it all to bring about his own purposes and plans to exalt Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we see this, that they had the understanding of the times. So, you know, those of us that follow the news or the things in the world, you can get very taken up with these things. Well, we need to stand back and take a view of what God is really doing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quite interesting when you speak to people in the world, they come to their opinions and their viewpoints, and you find as a Christian that your viewpoint is completely different from theirs. Why is that? We have the scriptures, we have a viewpoint of God's word to teach us what is going to take place, and you see everything in a different light and have a different perspective. Mm. So these ones here, they had an understanding of the times. What a privileged position the Christian is in today. I just read on for that next verse because it's quite encouraging, the children of Zebulun as well. I didn't really have in mind to speak of them, but it says, they went forth armed for war, keeping rank without double heart. What a fine thing that is, isn't it? You know, a company. Ready for war? We have to recognise, I believe, you know, that we are in enemy territory. This world is part of the enemy's kingdom at the present moment. We belong to a different kingdom, and so we are on a war footing. And we need to recognise that. We are in enemy territory as we walk through this world. Mm. But then it says there that they were without, what's it say again? Keeping rank, without double heart. Mm-hmm. What a lovely, lovely touch that is, you know. These were persons that were wholehearted, fully committed to David, fully committed to the pathway. Mm-hmm. They weren't those, you know, that had one foot in one camp and one foot in another. How easy it is for us to fall into that. We live in this world, and it's easier for us to think, well, I'll keep one foot in the world and one in the Lord, since it's impossible. It's impossible to do so. What it is to be wholeheartedly committed to the will of God and to the will of our Lord, and that is the way to true prosperity. Mm-hmm. So I just read this passage in Romans because it's just brings it right up to date for us. This also, knowing the time, it is already time that we should be aroused out of sleep. Mm. Maybe we need to be aroused out of sleep. He says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We know the times, now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It is soon time, you know, for our David, our king, to be exalted. Mm. He's going to be given the supreme place in this world. He's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is going to reign. We belong to his kingdom. So it says, those here, the night is far spent, the day is near. Let's cast away the works of darkness, put on the armour of light. Let us walk becomingly. So it's how it's to affect our pathway here. How we're to walk as those that belong to that kingdom that is soon to come. Our Lord is going to take the throne, and we should be walking here in the light of it. May we be encouraged too, for his name's sake.
Amen.